Good morning from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. Welcome to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa White, because I'm your host and garden expert. June is here. It's a busy gardening week. I just need more hours in the day, more days in the week, but I'm excited that I have new plants. We'll talk a little bit about that. Good morning, Lizzie. I saw on Facebook where you were cooling your turkeys down. What were you feeding them?
Watermelon and ice cubes and water.
It looked so cooling and refreshing. It looked just like a pink lemonade, or just with pulp in it. But they just gravitated toward it. They just went right to it.
Oh, they were nuts. I mean, it was so hot this week. Well, at least a couple days, I should say. So, but yeah, they were crazy. And then I had people going, if you add some liquor to that. And I'm like, look, I don't want drunk turkeys. And they're like, no, for us to come over and party. I'm like, no.
It was a hot week, I'm just telling you. And I was kind of disappointed because we were supposed to get 2 inches on Thursday night. We barely got any rain at all. Big lightning storm.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw in Winter Park they had some rain, and we had a little bit of rain, but not the 2 inches that we definitely needed. How about you?
Oh, I didn't, but a Apopka did, and I got caught in the monsoon at one of the stores. And I just sat in the store and listened to the rain because we haven't had rain in so long. I was like, this is so nice. I can't wait to get home, and boop, it's still a dust bowl in my house. So,
well, I am on the record for being concerned about the drought. We do need to get some rain. Hopefully it looks like we have some salvation coming this week.
Good.
And getting rain every day, even if we just get a little bit every day, that will help out. But tropical front is coming through. So now, here's driving around, I'm seeing everybody with dead spots in their lawn.
Mm.
Where they've been irrigating, they're twice a week. You can only water twice a week with your irrigation system, but they still have dead spots. Well, what does that mean? That means you don't want to water more. You need to check your irrigation spray patterns, because that area is not getting water at all.
Oh, snap.
Yeah, so the thing is that, if you turn the sprinkler system on for longer because that area is dying, it's still not going to get enough water. So that just is a big, huge sign for you to say, check your irrigation, do an audit, and you may have to add more heads. You may have to change the spray pattern, turn it around, twist it. It may be spraying the street and not your house. And so, but it's a good time to get an irrigation audit and just get it checked out. So if you have dead spots in your lawn and you've been irrigating, your irrigation system is not efficient. It's
right.
Not working correctly. So check that out. Key West and South Florida, you have 40 to 50% chance of rain every day next week. And, Lizzie, I just have to say this. I hope I'm not jinxing everybody by saying this, but I just want everyone to know the rain should be coming. And it doesn't mean you're going to get rain. It means 40 to 50% of Key West and South Florida will get rain.
Gotcha.
So not everybody will, and hopefully you're in the area that will. The tourists will have to suffer through the rain this week, because hopefully Central Florida is going to get 40 to 50 to 80% chance. The same with Tampa, 60 to 80% chance. North Florida is going to be a little bit less, but still the same 50% chance of rain. So the rainy season is coming. I just hope it's enough.
Oh, I know. I hate dust. I hate the dryness. I don't live in a desert for a reason.
Well, I have clients that live down a dirt road for about a half a mile.
Oh.
And, I was driving through it, and it's just when you get that dry spot where you start to feel your wheels spinning.
Oop.
And you got to just go faster, and then you go faster, and then your back wheels spit, they turn and stuff. So
country road.
Yeah, country road, exactly. And it's going to be a good week to check your irrigation system. So now, I just mentioned that if you've got dead spots in your yard, you got to check it. It's also going to be a good time that your rain sensor shutoff device, that means that's that little device on the corner of your roof that's unobstructed, it should turn your system off when we've had enough rain.
Hmm.
Okay, so this is a state-mandated device. You have to have it if you have an automatic irrigation system. All right, so a lot of people don't know that. A lot of people don't know that it needs to be maintained. So this week, if you get 1 to 2 inches, and this is always good so that you have a rain gauge you can kind of check it on, but if we get 1 to 2 inches of rain, your system should not come on at all. So if we're getting if you're getting a lot of rain and you're still getting irrigation turning on, then your irrigation system's shutoff device is not working.
Now, could you check that, like maybe running your water hose over
and
like
really
turn it on
idea.
Real quick?
Yeah. So you can turn on your irrigation system and then go and get your hose and just shoot it up in the air so that it fills your rain shutoff device. And once it hits, you know, 1.5 inches, which is what it could be set at, you could set it at 1 inch, but 1.5 inches, then the irrigation system should shut down.
See, I think a lot of people don't realize that, because I didn't until we got an irrigation system, which we should have known when we used to own a lawn business, but I didn't know. But anyway, I digress. but I, you know, you see people in your driving, you're like, oh, it's running. Well, I didn't realize that it had to fill up for it to shut off. It isn't like, oh, no, there's moisture in the air, I'm going to stop spraying.
Right.
It doesn't do that.
No, and so sometimes people will say, well, my irrigation system comes on even when it's, you know, when we've gotten rain. You may have only gotten a 16th of an inch, and it's not enough to shut it down. Okay. So last week I posted on Facebook some really cool photos of a phenomenon that I've never seen in my life. It happened at my client's house in Leesburg. It was incredible. And so with the help of Dr. Matt Borden, Bartlett Tree Services, and the University of Florida entomologist, Dr. Lance Osborne, who visited the property and gathered these insects, and Dr. Lyle Buss, I have the answers now. So we're going to be talking about that. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. This morning at Peterson's Nursery in Lakeland, they are going to have a lecture on proper pruning at 9:30. So 9:30 this morning, head over to Peterson's Nursery in Lakeland and tell Howie and Karen we said hello. But you get to learn all about proper pruning, and they should it should be a great class. So last month, I was hired to design a client's landscape in Leesburg. I took before photos, and I didn't notice anything unusual. Okay, so this is, they have live oaks all over their property and the Spanish moss hanging down. And so I just want to say for the record, going to interject here, Spanish moss does not hurt trees. Mm-hmm. There's no reason to, you know, get rid of it unless it's really declining and getting too much. So Spanish moss is not bad. Okay, so then, but I came back 2 weeks later to the same property, and I was shocked at the landscape. Now, nothing manually had been done to the landscape, but it looked like Halloween. Literally, it looked like someone had sprayed artificial webbing over every shrub, palm, flower bed, and tree, including the mailbox and the nightlight, the light post. Everything that was standing in the landscape was covered with webbing. It looked like Halloween, surreal, Michael Myers-esque. It just looked very scary. But it was the Spanish moss that shocked me the most. Every piece of Spanish moss hanging down looked like it had been encased in a fine, very fine pair of nylons. There was no little string of Spanish moss hanging down, but all of the moss was wrapped up in opaque webbing and even was in swooping arches limb to limb. It looked like someone had hung up fine nylons filled with Spanish moss on everything. So my client and their neighbors, who also had this phenomenon happening, were they said it happens every year and that this year was worse. So I took photos and I sent it to Dr. Matt Borden, who is Bartlett Tree Service. He was formerly with the University of Florida, which is where I met him. He is amazing. He's a doctor of plant medicine, and he's also, you know, been a guest here on Better Lawns and Gardens. And then I also sent it to Dr. Lyle Buss, who is a University of Florida entomologist, and Dr. Lance Osborne, who is with the Mid-Florida Research Center in Apopka, and he too is an entomologist. And so they had never seen anything like it. And Matt, I mean, they were all kind of going, wow, this is pretty cool.
Yeah.
This is really interesting.
It really is.
And so Matt researched, and he found similar events that happened in Texas, but nothing for Florida. So long story short, which is already too long, the event is called a spider social event, the web weaving as a group. So spiders exhibit a wide range of social complexity and multiple independent origins of sociality. So they're social creatures, but they're divided up. So there are some that are solitary, and then there's some that are subsocial, and that means they kind of like to go out to parties, but not really. And then there's the social spiders that they contain several females, and they contain, a single mother and multiple cohorts, and they form colonies that contain the adult females and offspring that keep on regenerating. They keep on having generations, okay? And it means there's an abundance of food. So the spiders all get together and have a house raising, a web weaving, and they just build these gigantic, huge webs that go all over trees, and they just take over the entire landscape. It is so cool. So I've got the photographs on our Facebook page. And so they like to, these colonies can reach up to tens of thousands of individual spiders, and they're not all the same species. Okay, so Matt identified them correctly, and he explained they're Guatemalan long-jawed spiders, which are long-jawed orb weaver spiders. They have various other names. And the web building he thought was very interesting. So he identified it as a Tetrananthe guatemalensis spider. And this is a spider from Guatemala. It's not an invasion. They've been here for centuries. And they it's just incredible. So based on the number of spiders he collected, Lance collected, they did identify it as a Tetrananthe guatemalensis. And you can go onto the Facebook page, and Matt sent a photograph where he circled the photograph, and you could see, now this is a cordyline, which is just a regular tropical plant, and everybody has them in their yards. They're quite common, and it's all just webbed up. And he went through and he identified seven different spiders that were nesting right in this cordyline, but they're not all the Tetrananthe guatemalensis. There's other spiders there. So the heck with worrying about chiggers with spiders. Arachnophobia. If you wake up one morning and find your entire property covered in spider webs, don't panic. It's just social spiders getting together. They're having fun. They are collecting food. They share the food. It means you have a lot of midges, a lot of mosquitoes, just a lot of food sources for them. Mm-hmm. And they get together and they share. Is that not cool?
That's very interesting. And if you haven't seen it, you should go to Teresa's Facebook page, The Better Lawns and Gardens, because it looks like stockings just hanging from the trees.
Yeah.
And that is just really unique. And how long did this last?
Well, it lasted until we took the webbing down. So so we can kill it. Now, there's no reason to spray it or kill it. I would, because it was everywhere. So I would just take it down. But the spiders are not dangerous. They're not harmful. They're not after humans. There's no sci-fi fiction, movie out there. It was pretty interesting. So we just took it down, took a broom and rake and just cleaned it all off,
mm-hmm.
and sent them home to somewhere else. We don't know. But they say it happens every year. So I'm going to try and catch it next year and take better pictures, because I did not take better pictures this time because I didn't know what I had. So if you have a gardening question about spiders in your yard, you can give us a call, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me at 23680. We would love to hear from you. You can let us know what you're drinking this morning. I have my cup of tea. What are you drinking this morning, Lizzie?
I'm 6 shots of espresso. That's my normal. It really is. Yeah. I mean, I do like a Cuban style, well, glow-in-the-dark white person Cuban style with, you know, the whipping of the espresso. And but I use honey instead of sugar because I'm allergic to, refined sugars. But, it's heavy cream. I don't understand how people don't use heavy cream every day in their stuff and they just go with regular the watered-down stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. No, I understand that. I have to have milk, but I understand the cream part. So 1-888-455-2967. If you're in the garden area, we'd love to hear from you. 23680. I would like to say a big hi. We have lots of fans, and I'm going to get to, we have a lot of new people joining our Facebook page, which we really like. But I wanted to just give a big shout out to Manny and Linda and Jose and Gina and Frank. They're always there with their comments and their likes, and that is just, they're just like friends.
Right, exactly. You know, and don't ever think there's a dumb question, because I just told you in the last segment that I didn't realize that it actually, your rain sensor actually has to fill up to a certain percent or inch before it actually shuts off. And this whole time, my whole life, I've been driving around judging people going, I can't believe that they have their, where's their rain sensor?
And you also have something too that's really good, cool. The turkeys like it, but you're seeing a lot of slugs right now, right?
I have so many slugs. If anybody wants to go fishing, I have got your bait for you.
Wow. And at my daughter-in-law's house, son's house in Mount Dora, they have snails going up their wall, little tiny snails. And they're, I mean, like 100 of them going up the wall.
We got a few snails, but most of them are the slugs, and they're about, 2 to 3 inches long, and they're thick, and the turkeys are loving them. But within this last week of the work I've been getting done, I easily could have filled up a 32-ounce cup full of them and not even thought twice about it.
Snails and slugs, those are my creatures. One of three that can be killed without any bad karma.
There you go.
So what? Why are they doing that? One, they could be searching for moisture, and it's been really dry.
True.
So they're migrating and going, trying to find someplace else that has a little bit of moisture. They could be searching for food. They're not finding any food, and they could be searching. So those are a couple of the reasons. And you can kill them. Don't waste your beer. Just get slug bait and just...
Or salt.
Salt works really good. But I just caution against putting salt in the ground.
Okay.
And
why?
Well, because salt is, salt kills...
It comes from the earth.
Yeah, it does. But it's just not good to put so much salt. And that's what I do. I don't do a little bit of salt on slugs. I just pile the whole thing on it.
Like you're cooking a margarita.
Like a cup of salt on a one little slug. And
take this.
Yeah, and it just it's fine. It works for me. I don't have to, but it's on. Well, I usually find them on cement. So
yes.
So what should you be doing in your landscape right now? Well, right now we cannot fertilize anymore. Most of the counties in Florida have fertilizer bans. But if your grass needs greened up, okay. So let's say it's really brown, and we're getting some rain, and it's trying to come back, you can put an iron-only product on it that will green it up without telling it to grow. So that's important. And then also, too, this is not a good time to be spraying herbicides. Don't spray herbicides when the temperatures are over 85 degrees. Your weeds will survive, and your turf will be the ones that suffer. And then also, too, don't do anything in chemical wise in your landscape until the rains kick in and we've had about a month of rain.
Yeah.
It's just not going to be good. They cannot handle the stress of a pesticide or an insecticide or an herbicide right now.
I literally can only imagine, because I know that all of my herbs have come to a screeching halt this last 2 weeks.
Oh, so. Yeah. My sage is really wilted.
Yeah. It's like, no, you trim me back. Sorry. We're not growing again.
But most of the plants, thank goodness for Tony, because we've been going out and hand watering a little bit because it just can't water enough right now. And Tony's been hand watering, so I appreciate that. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, it's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. This is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. If you have a gardening question, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. And a big hello out there to Eileen and Ira and Beverly. So we look forward to hearing from you and catching up with you. So what can you be doing right now in your landscape? Well, with vegetables and fruit care, you definitely want to make sure that your fruit trees are getting water. That's going to be very critical. We're going to see if they don't get enough water, they're going to be dropping the fruit. They're going to be dropping the flowers. And it's going to be a very, very, you know, kind of small harvest for you. They're just going to drop what they cannot handle. Vegetables, you want to water, you know, at least every 2 to 3 days, depending on your soil conditions. Your potting soil. Every 2 to 3 days, just stick your finger in the pots and your containers in the raised beds. The soil is cool, moist, or damp. You do not need to water. But if it is dry and going down with your finger in the ground to your second knuckle, then go ahead and make sure you're getting water there. And you can hand water if you want. And, you know, you don't need to turn on your irrigation system. All right. So you can just hand water. You can also, too, hand pull weeds and make sure you're not using an herbicide right now because it's going to damage the other plants around them. You can go ahead and cut your blueberry shrubs and hedges right now, and you can also cut back your blackberries. Feeding your bananas monthly, you can go ahead and do that, and you can harvest the stalks when the first hand form begins to yellow. So if you're seeing bananas on your banana trees, just kind of follow it, and as soon as it starts to yellow, the very lower fruit, then you can go ahead and cut it off from the tree so that the raccoons and possums and all the little critters don't get to the bananas. Do you have banana trees?
I just planted one, and now I'm debating on going ahead and planting a second one. So, yeah. Yes, I just literally planted it like a month or two ago. So.
Oh, good. How's it doing?
It's happy.
It's happy. That's good.
I didn't expect bananas or anything anytime soon, but yeah.
Yeah, no, you should get bananas next year from it.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, there you go. What kind? Did you have a specific kind?
What, bananas?
Yeah.
I'm assuming they're small.
Oh, yeah. Okay, the lady fingers?
Yeah, these aren't Cavendish. Like the ones. Yeah, these aren't like the big ones.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So. I like the blue Java bananas. Tastes just like ice cream.
You know, the best part about this job is that I learned things like that. Like, I only thought there were maybe two types of bananas. One that grow in your backyard
hundreds.
That's about as long as your finger, and then the other ones that grow, you know, in Africa or wherever.
I'll see if I can find you some blue bananas. And they really are blue.
Shut
but
up.
They taste like ice cream.
You know, you and these plants taste like food. You know what I did see, though?
What?
At a box store, and I
what?
Bought them.
What?
Purple bell peppers.
Yes.
Didn't know. Didn't have a clue.
Yeah.
Yep. Planted them, waiting for them to grow.
Do you know what they are?
Mm-mm.
They're green peppers that have been on the stalk too long.
I have my yellow ones have produced, my red ones have produced, and then the snack peppers, which I don't understand why they don't call them just snack bell peppers.
Yes.
And those are orange, produced a whole junk load of those. And then I bought some from the store. And then I did a blind taste test with Shrek because he loves the orange ones. Uh-huh. And he was like, oh, my God, these are so good. I'm like, those are the ones that I grew.
Good for you.
Thank you. That's wonderful.
That's wonderful. Also, too, feeding your pineapples, you can go ahead and use a slow release. Always follow instructions. And, you know, when I'm talking about fruits and vegetables, with fertilizing, you know, you're not doing your whole yard, which is where the ban is coming from, stormwater runoff. So just be very careful. Use the slow release. And then also, too, citrus trees, proper fertilizing, and you want to make sure that you're, you know, just walking your yard on a regular basis to catch a problem before it becomes a major problem. So many times when we do, like, integrated pest management, you can just catch it, cut the branch off, you know, just, you know, dump the caterpillars in a bucket of water. You don't have to use a chemical, but, you know, you're catching it on right before it becomes a major problem.
They
and that's
took
good.
Out my time.
What took out your time?
Caterpillars.
Aww.
I was so, there was, like, I should send you the picture of it. There was, like, thousands of them. They had a little orange head, and they were black, and they had like a white lines down the sides. And I'm like,
literally,
it was like all there was strings. There was no more time. And I'm going, wait, what was growing
out
here?
Of time? So when Shrek asked for, you know, what happened to our herb garden? You could say we ran out of time.
Right there, you go. But they didn't touch the lemon thyme.
No, because you would kind of think the lemon might not taste as good.
I'm gonna have to start mixing them together.
There you go. Okay, so Dan in Conway, he was talking. He said, Teresa, we planted, marigolds, and it's supposed to last until September the fall, and they're dying. And the secret is, though, is that annuals, especially seasonal annuals like marigolds, they will last 4 to 6 months usually, and then they start to decline. But if you plant them in November of last year and December, well, you've gone your 4 to 6 months, and they usually won't make it till September. So that's a little bit longer period. But he also probably is overwatering because they kind of looked a little rotted. It wasn't your simple dry marigolds and with the leaves. The leaves were all kind of black and kind of hanging down.
Who is this again? No, wait.
Dan.
Okay, Dan, join my club of creating fungus. I overwater so you know what? You're part of my club, buddy.
Have the fungus among us. There you go. But so just check and see. You don't want to be overwatering. Marigolds and plants that love the heat of the summertime don't need all of that water. They can get by without it. And so I had another client that showed me their trip to Morocco. Mm-hmm. And they went to Casablanca. And I said, that's my favorite movie. But they literally had camels, and they were going out into the desert and these big Sahara mounds. And you could just see mounds and mountains of sand for miles and miles and miles. They were all the way out there. I would have panicked.
I'm like, why?
Yeah. Well, this is their first trip.
I'm kidding. Yeah. That's cool, though.
But they set up these tent areas, and they plant palm trees. And these palms stay there forever, and they don't need water. They're in the dry sand. And I go, why can't people in Florida understand palm trees don't need a lot of water?
Because we don't live in a desert, okay, Teresa? That's why. That's why it doesn't get through our thick skull.
And so palms can do without, they do not like a lot of water. And so, you know, if you're seeing, you know, disease issues and your palms aren't looking so good, cut back on the water. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, if it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. If you have a gardening question, 1-888-455-2967. Remember that Peterson's Nursery has that pruning plants lecture today at 9:30. So you want to go out there and stay to it. So Rebecca emailed, and she said, I have a friend who lives in upstate New York during the summertime. Her brother lives there as well as full time, and they have a flowering crab tree in their front yard. The tree is over 45 years old, and they've never had a problem until this year. She said, I'm sending you pictures, which she did, and it's a beautiful crab tree. They use this plant food, and she sent me a picture of that to see if it helps. This is what the tree used to look like. The picture on the left is what it looks like now. And on the right of the trunk of the tree, on the right is at the trunk of the tree. Rain hasn't been an issue. They've had plenty of rain. They normally do nothing for the tree. It has a few green leaves at the time, but it doesn't look the way it should. Thanks so much for your help. Well, Rebecca, thank you so much for sending in your question. And you also sent a question in about your bird of paradise, and I'll answer that in just a minute. But the flowering crab tree, it looks normal to me. It may be the heavy amount of rain that kind of is making it decline a little bit. There does look like there are mushrooms at the bottom. And so the tree just may be at the end of its life cycle and just declining. But it's also springtime. They may have had a late spring with the flowers, and the leaves are coming back out again. So there's really nothing you can do for it, just to keep an eye on it, though. But with the mushrooms at the bottom of the tree, it's a good indication that there's a lot of decomposition going on. And it just may be at the end of its life, and you can't really do anything about that. Now, your giant, or your bird of paradise, your giant one, that's Strelitzia nicolai, is been eaten. And it actually has the teeth marks all the way around the plant leaves. So this, she sent me a picture of the bird of paradise leaves, and there's chunks and the chewed marks on the side of the leaves. So something is eating it. It could be either lubber grasshoppers. It could be rodents. And the size of the chunks of the bites, it looks like it could be a little bit of rodents have eaten the plant leaf. So, again, I would probably take my scissors and trim the leaf so it looks nice and straight again. You don't see the teeth marks. And then just kind of maybe put out, you know, some bait for the rodents. Look for the lubber grasshoppers.
Yeah.
And, you know, what can you do?
Yeah, be careful with that bait process.
Yeah, oh. It is. Oh. It
well,
is.
We, I'm excited.
Okay.
Okay. So when we started growing our corn, remember I told you that something came through and just like ate the heck out of the leaves, right?
Yes.
So then, you know, I put, you know, seven dust and stuff out. And so they seem to be growing well. But then I went out last week and I saw a stalk that was like melting, and I'm going, what is going on? So I was like, oh, these worms must be back. And I pushed it over. I don't scare easy, but when I pushed it over, a worm popped right up at me, and I'm like,
oh my goodness.
So I went through seven dusted everything again.
Yep.
It seems to be okay, and our strawberry corn is producing strawberry colored silk.
Yes.
I am so excited for this.
I need a picture. You should send pictures so I can get excited with you. That's wonderful.
I will.
I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
So Rebecca also sent me I did talk about the bird of paradise. Yeah. So it's either lubber grasshoppers or mice. But thank you very much for sending me an email. If you have a gardening question, you can just call me 1-888-455-2967. If you are new to Florida, we've got so many new listeners. I'm very excited. And if you don't get Better Lawns and Gardens on your station, call your station and say, we want our Better Lawns and Gardens.
That's right.
And ask them for it. And so if you miss an episode, you don't have to worry. You can always go to betterlawns.com and you can hear the episodes. You can go to iHeartRadio, anywhere where you listen to podcasts, and you can hear all of the shows in its entirety, catch up, and you can even go back to past years, and you can go to Audio Boom and see all the topics on Audio Boom. Now, if you are new to Florida and you want to know what to do each month in your garden, and you're listening to the show, you also need to get the newsletter. And you can go to my website, she-consulting.com, and we've just restarted the newsletter. We have May and June, and you get that out, and it tells you what to do each month in your landscape. It also talks about landscape malpractice, how to know when to fire your landscaper, and my favorite plants, some of my design tips, and it's just a lot of fun. So, and Lizzie, you have a column on it.
Yes.
And you're going to be talking about your gardening experiences and your grandbabies.
Yes, and the turkeys that I am
and
now
the
raising.
Turkeys, yes. And so they follow you all around like a mama?
Oh, they're crazy. They're crazy awesome. They really do. They follow me everywhere, which is just pretty awesome. However, they are now big enough. Like, you know, whenever you go into the grocery store and you see the young turkey frozen breast things, that's the size that they are. I mean, they're a little bit bigger than that. So they've turned into teenager brats. Okay. They're born around the 1st of April. And so they are now know when I'm coming to put them in their coop. And they're just like, So night before last,
you have
I had
to chase them.
I literally, well, they were perching because their run is around our cedar trees.
Uh-huh.
So I went up and scooped one up. And let me tell you, it took everything I could to pick them up and carry them through the trees and around to the coop. And their wings are strong. And I'm just like, you know what? I'm going to fight you all. So
they're going to say, you're just making me want to eat you more.
Exactly.
So Simon, when he comes back from vacation, you got that Save Gerald.
Yes, Spare Gerald. Hashtag Spare Gerald is, a part of our morning show that we do here in Orlando. So, yeah.
That's really cool. I love that. So Lizzie, how many acres do you have of grass turf?
Of grass turf?
Yeah.
Probably about an acre and a half.
And do you mow it?
No. My husband, who we lovingly call Shrek, he mows it.
Well, that's pretty cool. So in our next hour, we're going to talk about how to make that a little bit of an easier job.
Hmm.
Okay. So we have, robots are starting to do everything, right?
Yes.
So, but Tony Smith, he's the CEO of Autolawns of Orlando. He's going to join us, and he's going to talk about the latest machine that takes all of the work out of yard work. No sweat.
No way.
Yeah.
That I actually can get into. Like, this AI stuff's kind of freaking me out a little bit, but this I might actually be able to get into.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. So I'm very excited to have him on and talk about this, because I'm telling you, I have so many clients that would say, they don't want to mow it themselves, but, lawn mowing gets expensive. So, finding new solutions for it and more environmental, so we're going to be talking to Tony Smith about that. And it's really cool because, you always want the neatest things,
The new toys and gadgets.
The new toys and gadgets.
That's what I'm talking
about. Exactly. Yes. And so if you want to know what to do in your landscape, you can go to betterlawns.com. You can also give us a text message and give us a call at the bottom of the half hour.
Yes.
We have the dirty word of the day coming up, and Tony Smith, Autolawn of Orlando's, and we're looking forward to that. So if
I'm a new listener, what do you mean dirty word of the day? What does that mean?
Dirty word of the day. Well, each week I come up with a word that may not be that may not be as known to everybody as it should be, just kind of using new words for botany and biology and gardening, and just explaining a little bit of more gardening facts. And so it's the dirty word of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And I love finding new words to use. I'm into words.
It's very interesting. My nerd level has actually raised from producing this show almost 3 years now. So, yeah, I love it. The dirty word of the day catches me every time. But make sure you know the definition, because if you're at work and you use it and HR calls you into the office and asks you, why did you say blah, 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 just be like, well, it's a this.
It was the dirty word of the day. And so in 3 weeks, we will be going to Ireland with Art and Bloom Garden Tours.
Mm.
And we're looking forward to that. It's called 50 Shades of Green. And we're really, really it's going to be a joy. It was 59 degrees, the high there, just this last week. So if you're interested in going on garden tours with me, we go to the most wonderful places. And
you've worked with a company that has really good prices.
Yes, they do.
That's the thing.
Yeah, and we have a lot of fun. So just drop me a line and say, Teresa, I'm interested in finding out more. We are trying to plan a trip to the largest garden walk in the United States in Buffalo, New York, and also visit the Niagara Falls Canadian side. So if you're interested in that tour, let me know, because
what time of year is that?
It's going to be in July, and that's a nice time of the year to be up north and in Canada. And so if you're interested in going with us, we would love to do it. It's going to fill up very fast. It's not available yet, but we just want to know who's interested so we can get names and start planning it. And then also too, when I'm gone, Tom McCubbin's going to be here.
I'm excited about that because I am not going, because I get to hang out with Tom McCubbin.
So he's going to be here. So we're looking forward to that. We always appreciate Tom coming here. I love him. He's a dear friend. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, if it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.